You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leeds talking Tampa Bay Rays with MLB.com's Rays beat reporter, Bill Chastain. Bill, it seems like maybe there's a little optimism on Drew Smyly. Where does that stand these days?
He's supposed to have a little stint here to do a bullpen. So I guess we'll just have to see after that. But, it's still a shoulder injury. So, I'm going to have to wait and see on that one myself.
Yeah, that's always a wise thing. Shoulders are always tricky. But it does seem like, whereas earlier in the year this was kind of from the category of, well, anything they get will be a bonus, is it now at least more a little like he's potentially in the picture for 15?
You know what? The information we've been getting on him has been it's been kind of choppy the whole time. I mean, at first, you thought his season was over, and then he got a little bit upset. He said it was, not as bad as they said, and then he's been kind of tight-lipped since then. So we really haven't got a lot of information on him. So I'm not sure I could read it as optimism or not. It's just kind of a wait-and-see thing, I think.
Meanwhile, though, there is a lot of other good news with the Rays rotation. How is that going to shape up over these next few days as guys come back?
Well, obviously, they've got the kind of problem you like to have where you have too many guys. Matt Moore will have his first start of the season on Thursday after a long rehab from Tommy John surgery. And then Jake Odorizzi should be back, maybe a week after that, maybe even earlier. So, you're going to fit those two guys in, and you're going to have to figure out where the rest of the rotation shakes down. I think Carnes has pretty much entrenched him as one of the two guys that you're definitely going to keep in there, between him and Archer. Who's going to be the other guys that are going to get bounced out, and who's going to go to the bullpen? And, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes down. Like you say, one thing I find fascinating that they've kind of come into their own little system on, and whether Erasmo Ramirez falls into one of these guys or Alex Colome becomes one of these guys, is there the middle relief has kind of turned into like a hockey line where they've been rotating these guys in and out from Durham. Now, Colome is out of options. I'm not certain about Ramirez myself, but the way they've been bringing these guys in, it's funny because everybody, me included, had said all along, that if these guys can't go deeper into the games, they're really going to be putting a strain on the bullpen. But if you look at the innings of the bullpen guys, the back-end guys, they're really not as bad as you would think based on the number of innings the bullpen has, and that's because they've been shipping in new arms to take care of these guys, these innings in the middle. And, it's the Matt Andreese's and, we're going to see Andrew Bellotti back, those kind of guys coming in and do it, and they're taking a lot of those innings up. So it's been a kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah, that actually leads right into another thing I wanted to ask about. A couple people have written in recent weeks, and it's really fascinating. They've been extremely aggressive about getting their starters out, at least with some of their starters, and very conscious of something that is a fairly well known among geek circles, and I proudly identify as somebody who runs in geek circles, this concept that the fourth and even third time through the order, the advantage tilts pretty significantly to the hitter against the pitcher. The third time a hitter sees a pitcher, it's advantage hitter. The fourth time, it's huge advantage hitter. There's tons of data to back this up, and the Rays seem to be handling their pitchers, at least some of them, Archer is something of an exception. They seem to be handling their pitchers very much with this in mind. And so it all kind of adds up. And so I guess what I wonder partly is they're doing this quietly. They haven't come out and said this is their strategy, but they're clearly doing it. First of all, how do they kind of come to this? What's your understanding of how this kind of started being implemented?
Well, I do agree with you. They do seem to be embracing that. Besides how they came to it, they rarely talk about strategy. The big joke has always been what goes on behind that big blue matrix back there, you know, where they have, you know, you see a lot of guys walk into the game with computer bags that are, you know, these number crunchers that they hire. I know it was interesting earlier in the season when Nathan Carnes, I believe he had six shutout innings, allowed one hit, and they took him out after like 65 pitches. And everybody's like, what's going on? And, you know, it fell right into that, what you're talking about. Now, the only thing I found interesting about that is I do understand, you know, third and fourth times around the order, you know, anybody's going to get hit harder, you know, even your best pitchers. But it's kind of funny to me that at that point, Nathan Carnes really didn't have a really large sample survey, you know, or size to, if they were basing it on that or just on the premise that the third and fourth time around, you don't, you know, you get hit more. And then it was funny because the next time out, he threw like over 110 pitches. So, again, as I've often said, when we have these discussions, they're very difficult to forecast what they're doing and sometimes interpret what they're doing because they don't make their intentions, you know, they don't like to give out the, you know, the family secrets.
Often one of the challenges in implementing newer strategic thinking, however, and particularly when it comes to handling pitchers, I think more so than anything else, is getting the buy-in from the pitchers themselves. There's this notion of this is what we've always done. I got to the big leagues doing this. This works. And a lot of times pitchers don't embrace it. You saw Houston Street recently saying, well, I'll just leave if they're going to go to anything other than a closer-centric bullpen. How have the pitchers themselves reacted to this philosophy? I mean, clearly they notice it, even if they don't, and I assume they probably know the reasoning. I would guess you don't do this without explaining it to them. Are they on board, or is there some skepticism among the pitchers?
Well, and again, just observing, I think they're totally on board. And again, you look at the difference between Houston Street and some of these other guys. Houston Street's been around, so some of these other guys, you know, and particularly like I was talking about that rotation that comes, you know, a bullpen line, I'm calling it, coming up from Durham. You know, they might get sent back down to Durham, but they're going to get their time in the major leagues as well. The other starters are young starters. They really haven't, save for Archer. All the rest of them that they have in the rotation are young guys, you know. So, you know, you play by the rules. You haven't been around enough yet to really, you know, make your stance like, you say, Houston Street, you know, did. But, you know, you can't argue with something that's working. And right now it seems like it's working. So, you know, I don't detect any kind of dissension on there as far as that goes. I'm sure they probably joke about, you know, and I have heard jokes about, you know, the pitch count or when it's time for them to go up or down or whatever. But, you know, there does not seem to be any dissension or resentment at all.
One other thing I want to touch on is the Rays' outfield defense, and this is not a secret. Everybody knows this, but their outfield defense has been really really exceptional. They're one sort of quick and dirty measure of outfield defense is doubles plus triples allowed, and they lead the AL in that by a lot. They're at something like 100, and the next team is at 120, give or take. It's an enormous advantage. And that's a really good way to win games. And one guy, you know, you've mentioned, you were on this guy from the start. Kevin Kiermaier has really been a big part of this. You know, there's some obvious things that make a good center fielder. If you've got speed, if you've got a good arm, there are some obvious things. But beyond the obvious tools, what is it that takes him from a guy with physical gifts to a guy who is an exceptional defensive center fielder?
Well, first, I think to be good at anything, you have to have, or to be way over the top good at anything, you have to have enthusiasm. And this guy, from the first time we ever saw him, when they brought him up for the playoff games, you know, we didn't even know who he was. You could tell this guy was just eaten up by his defense. He considers his defense, you know, that's what he hangs his hat on. You know, he played some shortstop coming up in high school, and he played a defensive back. I think a lot of times that, you know, that kind of versatility and the stuff you get playing a defensive back or safety, you know, you kind of learn some different angles too. But, you know, you'll see the guy out before the games out there. If it's a new wall that he's, and particularly I noticed this last year, you know, when he's first coming up, these are walls he's not played before. He's out there ahead of time, working hard, looking at it. So to me, the outfield defense of the Rays, I say it's all Kevin Kiermaier. This guy is like, you know, it almost reminds me back when you had Crawford and B.J. Upton out there, and I used to joke with Madden telling him he could play a cover two with those guys. They, you know, covered so much ground. He's remarkable to see. He's worth going to the ballpark just to see how much ground he covers. You can't fathom it on TV. You really cannot. On top of that, he's got just an unbelievable arm, and you just don't see that much anymore. There aren't, you know, a whole lot of good outfield arms. I was talking to a guy yesterday and wondering out loud if he shows it off a little too much and maybe he needs to reserve some of the bullets. I noticed, you know, B.J. Upton had a great arm, and it wasn't, you know, it seemed to get a little bit less after wear, which things do. So, but I mean, you know, how many times you see a guy make it interesting on a sacrifice fly and, you know, throw the guy out at the plate? He does stuff like that. So, yes, it's an offensive, defensive weapon.
All right, well, Bill Chastain, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.